Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we continue our worldwide tour of new music, featuring a song today from a Scottish band.
Oh, cool. You know what Scotland reminds me of?
No, what?
Texas. All right, Shadow has rejoined us here in the basement. Just hanging out.
Mm-hmm. Pretty mellow down there.
Snoozing, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Getting some good sack time.
That's right.
You know, Jim, I was going to say something to folks. I know that yesterday we were talking about Portland being the Rose City.
Yes.
And lately, you know, we haven't had a lot of book nooks. We did have one a while back where we did a lovely interview with David Marconi about his book about North Carolina. But I tell you, I've been on a real history kick lately. And I don't know why. I just weirdly got into started reading these history books. And I wanted to mention one really, really fast to people. If you want a really good book, it's a good summertime read if you like history. It's called How the Post Office Created America. And it's a story of the evolution of the post office all the way from pre-Revolutionary War times all the way through, you know, pretty much. Well, I don't know how far it goes because I'm only up to about the Civil War right now. But it's super fascinating. And one tidbit I learned. The mail service was so slow back then that the people in California didn't know their state had been admitted to the union until about six weeks after they were actually admitted because it took so long for the correspondents to get there to let them know.
Wow.
That's kind of incredible. Yeah. And the other thing that I think you and I will find interesting, maybe you already know this, I didn't know it, but a lot of the newspapers that have names like Post or Express were named that because they wanted their readers to know that it was available through the Post or through the Pony Express.
Oh.
And so they would advertise that in the title. So people would say, oh, they do more than just my little community news. They would have editorials on the bigger issues of the day and things like that. So they would name it that so people would know, oh, that's got national news, because if it was like your hometown paper, you wouldn't circulate it in the Post, right?
I see.
It would just be local around your little area. And, you know, there's obviously still millions of them, but I thought that was really interesting. I can think of a couple newspapers with the name Express in them, but many with the name Post. So I thought it was really cool.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So check that book out. It's written by Winifred Gallagher, How the Post Office Created America. I think you'll really enjoy it.
Well, Scott Parks needs to check this out because he always has trouble getting his shipments from the
he does.
They get stuck in Chicago or something.
Stuck in Chicago. Yeah. Yes. And he's looking at them and they're not moving.
This might help him somehow. I don't know how.
Scott and definitely Paul Trapp, I think, is another guy who would like this book if they haven't read it already.
Yeah. Interesting that you mentioned North Carolina music, because I forgot to say this. I went to my first concert, post-pandemic concert.
I didn't know that.
The other night at Wolf Trap, and I saw Mandolin Orange.
Right. Now,
North Carolina band.
Watch House.
They're now called Watch House. I don't understand why they changed their name.
Me neither.
But nevertheless, I'm still going with Mandolin Orange. But it was so interesting because they played at Wolf Trap, which people who aren't familiar with Northern Virginia, it's an amphitheater.
It is.
Mm-hmm. But not as big as your Meriwether Post Pavilion or what's
sheds.
The other one? Jiffy Lube Live.
It's not like that.
Smaller grounds. And it's more of like sort of a, I guess you'd call it more of like a performing arts kind of center.
Right.
They have not just shows like this, and they'll have like rock shows. I'm going to see Jason Isbell there later in the summer, but they'll have like classical music, you know, orchestras. They'll have, they used to have like Prairie Home Companion used to do like shows
great
from there.
Example,
right.
Yeah.
You know, there's stuff like that. But it's beautiful. We were sitting at the pavilion. It's
gorgeous.
A beautiful setting. It's like this wood. I don't even know how it's so ornate, like this wood structure, and the sound is incredible.
Really is.
There. And you can almost kind of, it's nice because it's open air, but you kind of forget that you're outside in some way. Like, it's just such, it feels like an intimate kind of setting.
Very natural.
Right? So it's perfect for, you know, a band like this.
Absolutely.
Doing that kind of music. And normally this is a place probably that they wouldn't get booked, but because they were booking stuff at like reduced capacity still.
Yep.
They had everybody kind of like spread out, you know, spaced out. They're doing shows that, you know, maybe they'd be playing normally like a smaller venue in DC, but they got this big place to play.
Very cool.
They sounded great there. It was really cool.
Perfect place to see them, and a great show for your comeback show, without a doubt. Great place.
And I got to say this too. You know how we had the conversation about North Carolina music and sort of like how important that state is to American music, but sort of gets overlooked nowadays, whatever. we're watching them and we're listening to them, and they do this very, you know, sort of traditional folk country, whatever you want to call it, you know, kind of music. And at one point, my wife leans over and says, "Where are they from?" And I said, "North Carolina." And she goes, "Oh, makes sense."
Oh, really?
So there's something about the stamp of North Carolina, that kind of mountain music kind of thing, right?
That blend.
That still, it means something, I think, to people,
makes
right?
Sense. So that's very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Okay. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lennon.
I'm Patrick Foster.
Oh, by the way, I also saw Jasper Colt at that show.
Oh, yes. That's very cool.
I went out with him afterward.
that was
so funny.
Yeah.
He was like in the next, like, they had it grouped in like pods or whatever. He was like the one like in front of us,
so
like
cool.
A few rows up. Jasper, I hadn't seen him in the longest time. So
our old friend.
Yes.
Good to hear that he's out there doing well.
That's right. Okay. So where are we here? June New Music listeners. Mm-hmm. Let's kick it off here.
Hey, good morning, Jim, Patrick, interns, and the rest of the suburbs community. This is Jesse from San Antonio. I was giving you a call with new music for June. So I recently went on a road trip, a pretty extended road trip, and I was listening to all these kinds of songs all along the way, all these kinds of bands, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm limited to just one song. So a song came on the radio on my playlist, Shuffle, by a band by the name of Cold Cave, and they have a new album that's out by the name of Fate in Seven Lessons. So my wife is a big 80s fan, 80s music fan, and I'm a big new wave fan as well. This one, you get a lot of synth pop with it. The vocals to me sound reminiscent of Ian Curtis. But the song that we really liked is called Nightlight. And it starts off with these ethereal voices, and then, you know, the synth pop starts. We enjoyed it. So hopefully y'all will see. Y'all have a good one.
I see how that song could catch your attention.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very well described by Jesse. Thank you, as always, for calling in. And definitely puts you in mind of, I don't know, Jim, a lot of people say to themselves, like, oh, New Order, right? And
right.
You immediately think of Power Corruption and Lies. You
right.
might think of some of the later stuff they did, the bigger stuff, Tim. You know, World in Motion, like they had a lot of huge hit singles. But that first album they put out after the breakup of... Joy Division, called Movement, was not very successful for them at the time, and it was a departure, obviously very, very different, because Ian Curtis was such a magnetic force. But if
right.
you go back and listen to that today, it holds up as very, very powerful, and boy, that really put me in the mood of that, which is a good thing. I saw Cold Cave years ago because they put out an album on Matador Records, and I happened to be assigned to write a little something about them. So I didn't know they were still putting out new music. Oh, I had no idea.
This
so
is great.
It's really great. Yeah, yeah. I thought they had sort of stopped around 2010, 2011, something like that. So thank you, Jesse. Didn't know at all. Very cool.
That's
great. Sounded great.
Yeah. And for the record, San Antonio?
Yes.
Alamo City.
The Alamo City. That makes sense.
All right. Okay. Let's see. Where are we here? Let's head up to Michigan.
Hello, Jim, Patrick, interns, and Rockin' the Suburbs community. This is Mark Neese coming at you from the suburbs of Lansing, Michigan. For my favorite new music of June, I'm going with the album High from the band Texas. We're not from the Lone Star State, but from Glasgow, Scotland. Texas is a band that has been around since the late 1980s, but I only stumbled upon them when they appeared several weeks ago on CBS This Morning's Saturday Sessions. My ignorance of the band's existence is probably due to the fact that Texas is much more well-known in Europe than they are in the United States. Anyway, on the CBS Saturday Morning Show, the band performed the catchy song Mr. Hayes, which happens to sample the Donna Summer song Love's Unkind. I was immediately struck by the undeniable stage presence of lead singer Charlene Spiteri, who was also an excellent singer, and also the band's unapologetically upbeat and poppy performance. I must stress that Texas's brand of upbeat, unironic, pop-tastic effervescence is not the type of music that I naturally gravitate towards, and I have probably spent too much time wondering why the song Mr. Hayes led me to take the deep dive into the Texas back catalog. My best guess is that this music is the perfect pressure valve release for the stress I've felt during the last year and a half of this pandemic world. I've very much enjoyed all I've heard from Texas's new album High, but I may as well recommend the song Mr. Hayes as my June pick. I hope you like it, but if you don't, that's okay. All I can say is there's just something about the breezy happiness of this band that has been clicking with me recently. So stay safe and stay happy, everyone, and keep rocking the suburbs.
Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Mark mentioned, they're from Scotland. I get a pretty strong ABBA vibe out of that.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is great.
It's very cool.
You know, so as he said, this is very sort of like upbeat, fun kind of music. It's interesting that Mark just discovered them. They're one of these bands that like I've always kind of known of, but never really explored that much. Mm-hmm. And just looking it up, their first album came out in 1989.
What? Really? That long ago?
Yes.
That's incredible.
Yes.
Wow.
And they have 10 albums.
Wow.
So
I had no idea.
Yeah. I think of them, I do remember them in the 90s. They seem to have some success in the
90s. I think they must have had a song or two, because I remember that as well. Yeah. And hey, right there in the lyrics, you make me happy when things go wrong. So, you know, what's bad about that?
There you go.
That was great. Really cool pick.
Very cool.
Owning it, Mark. Well got. Well done, sir.
Very good. Okay. One more call here today.
Okay.
Good morning, Jim, Patrick, intern, the Suburbs Pod family. This is Scott Eisen from the South Kansas City suburb of Raymore. I'm just here to call in with my June new music picks and just an update on myself. I know I've unloaded a little bit on things have been rough recently, at least since September, since I've been dealing with some personal health issues. Well, things are a lot better, and my mind is much clearer. I'm thinking better, and I think I may be past all the crap I was dealing with. So, look out, world. Here I come back. Well, I'm going to start with Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus has intrigued me. I can't say I'm a huge fan, but I have deep respect for her. When we have so many female artists, we've had them over the years that their way of getting attention is to put their body on display, show as much skin as possible, get attention. Miley Cyrus also shows skin, but hers is, it's a political thing. She's trying to do it because men can show skin, but women can't. It's okay for men to do it, but not women. It's a political thing. She's not doing it to as a sexual thing. It's a political thing, and I have deep respect for her for that. And as far as her talent, it's immense. She plays and does. She explores many genres. She does it well. Now, I'm not a fan of everything, but I'm a fan of what she does. She has a deep voice. She can do many things. Well, Metallica put out a call for artists to cover their music, and they put it out as the Metallica Blacklist. And as the artists cover their music, they're putting it on Spotify, and you can actually follow it as each one is released, and it's the Metallica Blacklist. You know, it'll actually show up on a playlist on Spotify. Well, Miley Cyrus, she covers Nothing Else Matters. And what makes this amazing is she's covering it, and it features Watt, Elton John, Yo-Yo Ma, Robert Trujillo, and Chad Smith. And that's another thing about Miley Cyrus is, yes, she started out as a country singer and also as a Disney star, a teenage star, but she goes into everything. She's a pop star. She's a rock star. Like I said, I have enormous respect for her. Well, okay, the second artist I had to cover is, I'm a huge Bruce Springsteen fan. I'm going to give away my age, but I started following Bruce Springsteen when he released Born to Run when I was in high school. Well, the Killers, Brandon Flowers, asked Bruce Springsteen to re-release the song Dustland, which is a re-release of the 2008 Dustland Fairy Tale, which is about Brandon Flowers' parents from the 2008 album. And Bruce Springsteen has gone in and redone the song, and it's been re-released as a single. So the second one is Brandon Flowers, The Killers, with Bruce Springsteen doing Dustland. And it's Bruce Springsteen, it's The Killers, What Can't You Love? So those are my two picks for June. Again, love the podcast. Thank you guys for all you do. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Scott. And good to hear that.
That's great news.
You're doing better.
Yep.
That's wonderful.
That's really good. Really good. And thank you for continuing to call in even during the tough times, man. We appreciate that. So it's great to hear that you're feeling better.
Okay. Let's save the Miley Cyrus Metallica cover for the playoff.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
But I will just say real quickly, I think we're on the same page regarding Miley Cyrus. My kids were at that age where they watched a lot of Hannah Montana.
Yes.
So same. I saw a lot of that stuff.
Me too.
But I've actually been really impressed with her career as a, you know, as an adult.
Agree.
Musician. She's done some great stuff. And it's funny you mentioned this sort of like the politics and all that, but she seems unlike a lot of other like those teen pop stars.
Yep.
She seems very comfortable with herself.
She does. I totally agree with that.
You know?
Yep.
And I mean that musically as well. She does a lot of interesting things. She caught my attention when she did some work with Wayne Coyne at one point.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. So, that was awesome.
You know, I think I don't get the sense that she's just out there trying to like get the next hit single.
She's not doing
music that she likes to do, and she's kind of exploring a lot of different things. So
totally agree. Well said.
Anyway, so there you go. We'll do that song as the playout, as I mentioned, and then. But I want to hear this Killers and Springsteen thing. I haven't heard this yet.
Yeah, me neither.
All right. Tale beginning, or just another white trash county kid, 61, long brown hair and foolish eyes.
You look just like you'd walk into some kind of slick chrome American print. A blue jean serenade. Moon River, what you do to me? I don't believe you.
So Cinderella in a party dress. She was looking for a nightgown. So the devil wrapped it up his hand. He's getting ready for the showdown. So the minute that I turned away, I got my money on the pole tonight.
A change came in disguise.
All right, there you go. What I find interesting about this collaboration is that the Killers, especially if you listen, I want to say, I think it's their second album, Sam's Town, from 2006. There's a really strong Springsteen influence on the Killers.
Yeah.
And so then to now bring him in.
Makes sense.
You know?
Well, when their voices came together there, that was really cool. Yeah. It was really, really strong. And it's interesting, too. I was just looking at the news the other day. I don't know if you saw this, Jim, but as we record this, I guess the Summer Olympics are a couple weeks away.
Yeah.
But Bruce Springsteen's daughter is a member of the U.S. equestrian team. That's pretty wild, isn't it?
It is.
Apparently, she's been riding horses up there on the farm since she was like old enough to get on a horse.
Yeah,
pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, I knew that she was accomplished. That had been reported in the past, but I didn't know.
Crazy. She
that
made
much
it.
So,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's amazing. So,
okay. Let's see here. As I mentioned, we'll do the Miley Cyrus song as the play out.
Yep.
Let's get going. We just have one more day here.
Great.
New music. We'll have, let's see, I think three more callers tomorrow.
Okay. Perfect.
All right. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you all tomorrow.
Flippers and all. Wow.
Wow. Wow. This is a nice boat.